You are here. Amen. We serve a beautiful God who is a way maker when there seems to be no way. We want to say welcome this morning to those of you who are on any of our social media platforms. Welcome and thank you for being there. Be sure to heart, like, subscribe, follow us, make comments there, do all those things. And welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. If you need that number, please see us or call the church office. We'll be glad to give that to you. If you have access to the church website at home, go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's just a couple of tabs over under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin. These are in the windowsills as well as at the doors. Be sure to get one of these in person today. It's got a little insert that you'll find out more about a little bit later about our golden offering for Tennessee Missions. And we'll be posting some things on social media for those of you at home throughout this week also. So be sure to download that from the website there under the info tab. We have the children's worship bulletins. They're in the windowsill to my right. So be sure to grab those. There's one for ages 7 and up, one for ages 3 and up. And Children's Church will be dismissed in a little while. So if you're a guest here and you have children that you want to send to Children's Church, we encourage you. We'll be lining up on this side in a little while. And then also under that info tab, you'll find the prayer list that you can get downloaded there with its updates on it. So be sure to take the time to do that. If you're a guest who's here with us this morning, we want to encourage you especially to pick up one of the guest bags on the sides of the stage. They're also at the doors as you leave this morning, that way and out this way. Be sure to grab one of those. It's got some information about our church that we want to share with you, some gifts that we want to give to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. So welcome to everybody. And Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Good morning, all. Take your hymnals, or you can sing from the screen. But when I looked at the song just a second ago when I was getting ready to stand up here, I looked at it and I'm thinking, I don't know how that goes. All these things kind of go together sometimes in your head. It came alive in my head. So stand up with us and let's sing Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, 277.
Well, we come to our time in our bulletin that you'll notice in our order of service that we come to recognize our missionaries of the week. We're recognizing this morning Emmanuel and Iona Grozea, who are serving in New York City. They were there in helping to revitalize a Romanian Baptist church in New York City. It's now called Maranatha Baptist Church, which was dying when Emmanuel arrived there. So we want to encourage you to please pray for Emmanuel and Iona Grozea, and that God would raise up leaders as they lead Maranatha to plant three new churches in 2023. We also want to encourage you to be praying for the golden offering for Tennessee Missions. So we want to encourage you to watch this video, if you will, and then Ms. Rima is going to come and share a few words with us.
It is absolutely amazing being here in this old building, probably the oldest church structure in the whole state of Tennessee. It's part of the oldest church in Tennessee, Seeking Creek Baptist Church. Over 250 years ago, they started meeting in a man's home. And the reason they met, because they saw Tennessee as a mission field, any way you slice it. Beginning right here at Sinking Creek, the gospel spread westward across our state, carried by Baptists. The vision of the Goldens nearly 100 years ago was the fact that they saw the need of an offering to propel this gospel enterprise. Because Tennessee is still a mission field, we right now have a present-day mission opportunity at Blue Oval City. The massive Ford automotive manufacturing facility in West Tennessee, where the population is going to explode to 100,000 in the next decade. There is a church planting movement that has already begun there and will impact generations to come. Baptist Collegiate Ministry, who will celebrate their 100th anniversary next year, is still doing a lot more than just reaching college campuses. They're sending missionaries across the state, across the nation, and around the world. At the heartbeat of many of our churches is Compassion Ministries and Disaster Relief. And we are still serving people that are hurting around our state through these important ministries. Tennessee Baptists are making a difference in the lives of people. The importance of the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions is much like the Lottie Moon Offering for International Missions and the Annie Armstrong Offering for North American Missions. We cannot begin to downplay its vital importance to Great Commission work in our own state. I want to invite you and your church to join us in giving through the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions. It is a joy to be with you on this journey.
Good morning. I'm Rima Bell. I'm part of our missions ministry team here at Highland. And I have the honor of just encouraging you this week to be in prayer for Tennessee Missions. When you came this morning in your bulletin, you should have seen an insert that gives you a lot of information about what is going on with Tennessee Baptist. This year's theme is called All Things Tennessee, and it's based on a scripture verse from 1 Corinthians 13:7, a very familiar one. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. 1 Corinthians 13:7. I want to encourage you to take this prayer guide with you this week. Spend just a few minutes each day reading the specific prayer concerns and needs across our state of Tennessee. And then as you do that and become more aware of what's happening here in Tennessee, that you would be encouraged to pray for what God is going to ask you to give toward the goals of the offerings that we have. In Tennessee, the goal is $2,700,000 with a challenge goal of $3 million. So with all of the churches that we have here amongst the state of Tennessee, when we all pull together, God's will and glory can be proclaimed. Thank you so much.
So let's go to the Lord in prayer for our missionaries. The missionaries who are serving there, the Groseas, in New York City, as well as praying for our golden offering for Tennessee Missions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you that you have watched over us and taken care of us. We come before your throne of grace, Lord, seeking your forgiveness, seeking, Lord, for those who may not know Christ for their salvation. Father, we pray for those of us who are believers and ask, Lord, that you will strengthen us in our faith and our walk with you. Help us to walk more faithfully than we have the day before, not just saying words, Lord, but demonstrating our love to you in our lives by serving you. And Father, we thank you for our missionaries who've answered the call to serve. Father, we pray for the Groseas who are serving there in New York City. We ask, Lord, your blessings upon them and their church there, their Romanian church. We pray, God, that you'll just continue to open opportunities for them to share the gospel, bless them, and give them the leaders to be able to start those three new churches in New York City there too. And we just pray, God, for your blessings to be upon them. And Lord, we pray for all the mission work that is going on across Tennessee through our Tennessee Baptist Mission Board. Father, we pray that you will bless those who are serving through that. Lord, we pray that you'll bless this offering and this emphasis that we're going through this week of prayer, as well as throughout this whole month of giving towards that offering. Lord, impress upon our hearts what we might give towards this offering, Lord, that we would continue, Lord, to see the gospel go forth, not only in East Tennessee and West Tennessee, but right here in Middle Tennessee also. And so, Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing. We ask your blessings upon this service, and we ask those things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I do want to remind you this morning that you can do your giving online at home. Go to the website, highlandbaptistchurch.com. Go to that far right-hand side. Click the Give Online tab there. Easy platform for you to do your giving. One-time gift. You can do it as a recurring gift. You've got the offering envelopes in front of you in the pews there, and you can put that in the offering plates here at the front or at the doors as you leave today. And then I do want to mention one other thing in the way of kind of announcements while I'm up here. We are going to be doing a new church directory. If you see our old one, we did that back in 2018, and it's about time for us to do another one so that we can update your information and your pictures too. And a lot of people don't like pictures, but we want to encourage you to participate in this. So we have that coming up. We've already set it up on our website for a church directory appointment scheduling page for you to sign up on the church website. So here's what we need you to do. We are going to need you to go online. We're going to need you to sign up there to register online for a 15-minute photo session at the address that you see on the screen up here. It's tinyurl.com/34vudtb4. There's signs with that all around the sanctuary and the hallways out there and the hallways out here, down the hallways that way. So you can scan that. It's going to be on all of our social media. So all of that information is going to be available there for you. So the dates are going to be October 5th and 6th, a Saturday and Sunday, October 12th and 13th, and October 19th and 20th. So we want to encourage you that you can scan this QR code, you can go to the website, or you can just call the church office if you don't have that technology, and we can get you registered on the church website. That number is 455-0645. All that information, we said, is on these pictures that you'll see all around the church today. We also are going to need some help because we're doing this directory in-house. In other words, we're not having a company come from outside. We're going to be doing it ourselves. And so you're going to find down here at the front, as well as at the tables out there and here, a little form that we want to encourage you to pick up, because we're going to need your help to do that. We need help with helping to publicize the event, those who could help contact the families, helping people to make those portrait appointment signups during church services and things like that, greeting our families during those photography sessions. A lot of things there on that paper. Be sure to pick one of those up if you feel like helping us with that. They're down here in front of the pulpit, at the doors, at the tables there, so be sure to grab those. And so you can bring those back to me. You can put them in the box outside the church office. You can place them in a church, in an offering plate, and that way we can be able to follow up with you to get you to help us with that. So that's going to be in October. Go ahead and start signing up now, because those time slots will go pretty quickly. Brother Mike.
So now you have work to do. Take your hymnals and let's sing about working for the Lord. Let's turn to 615. Let's sing To the Work. Miss Pat.
Let us do with our might what our hands. Toiling on, toiling on,
stand with us now as we sing hymn number 604, Come All Christians Be Committed. Children's Church will be gathering on the piano side during this song. So, ladies and gentlemen. Come all Christians, be committed to the service of the Lord. Make the lives of your Him more fitted in your hearts with one accord. Come into His parts with gladness, each His sacred vows renew. Tear away from sin and sadness, be transformed with life anew.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 11 and verse 12 is where we're going to be at this morning. We're going back to where we were back in June in Ephesians, picking up a couple of verses here that we kind of went quickly over to come back through, and then we'll be just continuing on here through the book of Ephesians. If you've not been on our Bible app, we want to encourage you to do that. We do have the Bible reading plan there for the book of Ephesians. It's an 11-day reading plan. Encourage you to take the time to do that. The devotions by J. Vernon McGee, and then the scriptures are there in the book of Ephesians. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and verse 12. So let's stand as we read God's word in honor of His word. And He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You this morning for who You are, and thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You that You have brought this church up. Many years ago, You've established this church in this community. Father, I pray that we will continue the work that You began in us and that You will be faithful to complete the work that You began in us. Father, we pray that we would submit ourselves to You daily. Lord, seeking to see how can I serve You in whatever way that I will and whatever way that Your plan is for our lives. Father, we pray Your blessings upon this word, and we ask, Lord, for You to stir our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I've entitled this message this morning, At your service, at your service. And I want to first start by asking you a question before we even get into the message itself and the passage itself. Maybe you're taking notes there in your bulletin or somewhere else there. I want to encourage you to write down to estimate how many ministers we have in this church. Some of you are new here, some of you have been here a while, but I want to ask you, how many ministers do you feel like we have in our church? Now, don't tell anybody, don't shout it out, just write it down. How many ministers you think we have here at Highland Baptist? I'll give you just a moment. So how many ministers are there in our church? Well, basically and truthfully, the answer to that is we're all the ministers. We're not saved to sit. We are saved to serve. And the last time we looked at this passage in the book of Ephesians, we looked at the question, why do the saints minister to the body of Christ? That is, to what end or to what goal do we do our ministry in the church? And that's key. Keep remembering that word, ministry or service. Now, the answer came out in three ways when we looked at this before, at least three ways. We saw the three aims of our ministry to the body. One was the aim, that the aim of our ministry is for the building up of the body. That's the immediate purpose. In other words, Christ gave leaders to the church, like those he lists there in verse 11. And then verse 12 says this, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So the aim of our ministry as a church is building up the body, not just individual members of the body, but the body as a whole. Secondly, the aim of our church and the aim of our ministry is the unity of the faith and the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. That's the eternal purpose that you see in verse 13. Verse 13 said, we're to do all that until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So in other words, the aim of ministry isn't just that individuals be built up, but that the body of Christ seek to become mature believers in Christ. So the church isn't just to be about people. It's not to be just about personalities. It's not to be about committees and money and buildings, although we praise the Lord for those kinds of things. But so often what we find in the church across the nation, especially here in America, in our Western society, we've made the church more like a business and less like a ministry. So understand this, Christ is the head of the church, and he's fully mature, fully complete. So the church is his body. We're not fully mature. We're not fully complete. And so the aim of ministry is to build up the church, to cause it to grow into the kind of maturity that resembles Jesus Christ. So that's the aim of ministry, is becoming the likeness of Christ. There's another aim of our ministry also, and as we see here, this corporate likeness to Christ in verse 13 has definite implications for us as individuals. It results in our not being gullible or unstable, that we take everything we're experiencing in life, in this world, as you think about life today, whether it's your job or whether it's your marriage or whether it's school or whether it's how you're relating with people or maybe it's politics or economics or whatever it might be, we're to take all of those things and to make sure we're filtering those things through the Word of God. Notice what verse 14 down through verse 16 says, that when you come to the fullness of Christ, when you come to the mature manhood, you do that so that we may no longer, verse 14 says, be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. He's the one who's the head. We're to be growing up into him, from whom the whole body, verse 16 says, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So get the picture here. We're to be discerning. We're to be stable. When the whole body is building itself up together into the likeness of the maturity of Christ, then the effect is that the members of the body in that process become discerning and perceptive and stable. So one of the reasons why saints minister to the body is so that every member can become sharper in the Word of God, less gullible to the things of this world, less naive, less unthinking. That's the personal purpose. And so why should every believer be contributing their part using the gifts that God has enabled them with, giving all that they are and all that they have to get the job done? Here's what I want you to know. It's because there is so much at stake for us and for this world that is lost and dying and going to hell. There's an eternal weight that ought to rest on our shoulders, the responsibility that rests on every single believer. And every one of us is responsible for reaching people for Christ and building them up in the faith. So how does that happen? How do we minister to? How do we serve each other so that the body grows up into this corporate Christ-likeness? How do we minister so that the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God emerges? How do we minister so that people who are new in the faith, people who are babes in Christ, become strong, become perceptive, become discerning saints? I want to get to that as we go through these two verses. In Washington, D.C., the Washington Monument towers above the entire city. It's 555 feet, 5 1/8 inches high. From the lobby to the observation level, it's 50 stories. To get to the top, you could either take the elevator, which is the easy way up, or you could take the stairs, which is 896 of them in all, which is the harder way to get to the top. Years ago, Zig Ziglar, who was a motivational speaker, once told the story of going to the Washington, D.C. and to the monument there. And he said as he approached the monument, there was a line that seemed like it was just a mile long of people waiting to ride that elevator to the top. He walked up to the front to hear what the guide was saying, and the guide said that there would be a 2-hour wait to ride the elevator to the top of the monument. And then with a smile on his face, the guide said, "But there's no waiting to the top if you're willing to take the stairs." We don't want to take the stairs. We want to take the easy way so often. You think about it. If you went to Wall Street and you asked the question, what's the secret to greatness? Wall Street would say money and lots of it. If you were to go to Washington and ask, what's the secret of greatness? They would say political power. If you were to go to Hollywood and ask, what's the secret of greatness? Hollywood would say that it's fame and probably money too. But the greatest man who ever lived, Jesus Christ, had a different answer. Because in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26, he said this, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant." You see, success and greatness in the kingdom of God is far different than it is in the world. In the kingdom of God, there is no easy way. There is no elevator to the top. To get to the top, in God's eyes, you've got to take the stairs of service. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." So the secret of greatness in the kingdom of God isn't how many servants you have, it's what kind of servant you are. You remember the story in John chapter 13 when Jesus approached his disciples there in the upper room as they've all gathered there for their Last Supper. To their surprise, when they saw Jesus, he took off his garment and he had put a towel around himself and around his waist, and he's carrying a bowl of water. And Peter said, "Wait a second, what's going on here?" And Jesus said, "It's time to wash feet." And Peter scoffed and he said, "I'm not washing feet. I'm not washing those guys' feet. And I'm not washing yours." And Jesus said, No. He said, "I'm washing yours." You see, the key question of that passage and of this passage is, are you more interested in being served in a church, or are you more interested in being a servant in the church? There was a first grade teacher who asked her class the question, "What do you do to help at home?" And one by one, the answers came back. One little girl said, "I dry the dishes." One little boy said, "I feed the dog." Another little child said, "I sweep the floor." Everybody gave an answer except for this one little boy who was sitting way in the back. He didn't say anything. The teacher looked at him and said, "Johnny, what do you do to help at home?" He said, "I stay out of the way." There are far too many church members in the church, here and everywhere else, who just stay out of the way. A Gallup poll once discovered that only 10% of church members in most churches are active in any kind of personal ministry in their church. And what's even more amazing is that 50% of all church members said they have no interest in serving in any ministry in the church. Every member, every believer ought to be involved in ministry. We're not talking about a committee. We're not talking about a position, but ministry. There's no excuse for a saint refusing to serve. There are several reasons why we ought to determine in our hearts to become the servant that God wants us to be and to get involved in the ministry that God has for us right here at Highland. Because ministry is one of the building blocks of the foundation of the church. And we ought to be saying to the Lord, "Lord, I'm at your service." Because understand, you're not serving me as a preacher. You're not serving really anybody else in this church. You're ultimately serving the Lord. Here's those four reasons I want you to see why we ought to determine to become the servant that God wants us to be. One is this: because God expects it. He expects it. It's not an option. He expects us to serve others. Verse 12 says that all of these ministry positions that he gives here, these apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, are there to equip the saints. Who are the saints? We've already talked about this when we looked at Ephesians. Paul calls believers saints. So whether you believe yourself to be a saint or not, the Bible declares if you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have surrendered your life to him, you are a saint. And so he says we're to be saints, who equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That passage tells us that we have evangelists, we have pastors, we have teachers, we have missionaries, we have lots of different categories of people who are serving, but we have also many other ways that you can serve. That's not a position. You were created for ministry. Earlier, Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 that we've already looked at. He said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So understand, ministry and service is our very reason for existence. Everything created by God was created for a purpose. Birds were created to sing. Bees were created to give honey. Cows were created to give milk. Fish were created to swim. Bulldogs were created to win championships. Sorry. But God created you for a relationship with himself and for service and for ministry. God designed for you to make a difference. So understand this. God made you the way you are so you could do what he wants you to do. The reason why God makes you different is so that you can make a difference. That's why you were created. You're also called not only for ministry, but to ministry. The call to salvation and the call to service are identical. You think about when Jesus first met his disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. Here's what he said to them in Mark chapter 1 and verse 17. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." There was the call to salvation. Follow me, come after me, be my disciples. And there was also the call to service. I will make you become fishers of men. Every Christian who is here this morning, who is watching online, has been called to minister. And every Christian has been called to ministry. That doesn't necessarily mean, obviously, that every Christian's called to pastor or called to be a Sunday school teacher or called to be a deacon or to work full-time in ministry in a church. But at the same time, every Christian is called to full-time Christian service. Listen to this passage in Romans chapter 7 at verse 4 that says this, "Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead." Why has all that happened? "In order that we may bear fruit for God." What that means is now you belong to him in order that you might be useful to service for God. Every Christian is to serve the Lord full time. God's ministry, there are no part-timers, there are no half days, there are no holidays, there's no age limit, there's no 9-to-5 rules, we don't go on strike, there's no retirement. God expects us to serve others. Secondly, we see that he enables us to serve others. He enables us to serve others. Notice in verse 11 here, he says, "And he gave." And then he lists all those different things. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says that Jesus saved us and called us to a holy calling not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. In other words, holy calling or work here simply refers to ministry. So when you look at the scripture and you go back to the Greek language here, you'll see that the word for ministry in the Bible is the same word for service, and the word for service is the same as ministry. In other words, a servant in the Bible is a minister, and the minister in the Bible is simply a servant. You know, one of the most misunderstood words of our day is the word minister. Because people use it as a synonym, if you will, for someone who's ordained, for somebody who stands behind the pulpit or leads in a particular way there as an ordained minister. You might be surprised to learn that the word minister comes from the Latin word for servant and is based in the root word minus, which means less. So technically, a minister is someone of a lesser rank or status who simply wants to serve and not to be served. You were saved to serve. You weren't saved to sit. You weren't saved to soak. You weren't saved to sour. Think about this. Why doesn't, when you first accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, why not at that moment? I mean, it would seem like that'd be the perfect moment when I received Jesus into my heart. Everything's right with me now. Poof, why don't I go on to be with the Lord in heaven? Why doesn't he take us on to heaven the moment we get saved? There's only one explanation. He has a ministry, a service for you to do. Why does God want you in a church? Because he wants you to minister in the church. Why does God bring needy people to you during the week? So that you can minister outside the church. Because a lot of ministry ought to be happening outside the church. And so contrary to what a lot of religions teach, we don't believe that you're saved by your works or by your service, but we do believe that you're saved for service. So God expects, and God enables, he gives, and then he equips. God equips us to serve others. Notice again, verse 11 and 12. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So what you have here, in essence, is the job description, not only for the pastor, but also for the people of the church. So first of all, notice that it's God's people who are expected to assume the work of the ministry. The work of the church, the ministry of the church, doesn't belong just to the pastor. It belongs to the people. And that leads to the second truth here. My number one job as a minister, the number one job of our teachers, the number one job of Pastor Matt, the number one job of our deacons is to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Now, some people have the idea that the pastor serves the church by doing the ministry of the church. Somebody once said that the first Reformation put the Word of God back into the hands of the people of God, but now we need a second Reformation that'll place the work of God back into the hands of the people of God. So understand that when you read the New Testament, you'll never find the following words. You'll never find the words committees. You'll never find the words majority rule or boards or parliamentary procedures or business meetings. Too many churches too often have imposed a secular form of government on themselves and become bogged down in the bureaucracy. When we need to be focused on Him and doing the ministry to one another and to the people around us in the world, God expects, God enables, God equips, but then notice also, God empowers. He empowers us to serve others. So in other words, the service doesn't come from your feeble physical efforts. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. That's why you need to be in God's Word, growing closer to Him each and every day, being built up in Him each and every day, so you can go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit to do the ministry He's called you to do. So He empowers us to serve others. Not only has God given us, as we read there, the equippers to help us do the ministry of the church, but God has also given us the equipment to do the ministry of the church called spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says this, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, and then it continues on down the list of gifts there. But we all have gifts. Every Christian is gifted. None of us have the same gifts exactly, but we're equally gifted in the sense that God gives us abilities and gifts so that we can be able to do what He wants us to do in the body of Christ. God never wastes anything. Every spiritual gift, every natural ability that you have, God gave it to you to be used in ministry to worship Him. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this, as you have received a gift, so this is Peter here writing to us as believers, every one of us have received a gift. He says, use it to do what? To serve. To serve who? One another. How? As good stewards of God's varied grace. So understand that spiritual gifts haven't been given to you for your enjoyment. They've been given to you for God's employment. How many of you love getting presents? I love getting presents. I like getting presents at birthdays, and I like getting presents at Christmas. Here's the truth we need to learn if you haven't already learned this. No matter how much you pay for a gift, if it sits there and never gets opened, it's absolutely worthless. We have to discover our gift and develop our gift and deploy our gift in service of others. You see, the reason so often that church members even get frustrated and irritated and lose interest in the church is either that they've never discovered their spiritual gift and don't know what it is, or they've discovered it and either they're not using it or they're using it in the wrong place. So understand, you need to make sure that whatever you do in the church, two things ought to be true. Whatever you do in the church, two things ought to be true. Number one is this. Make sure that you have the ability, the giftedness for it. In other words, don't just fill a position to fill a position. Don't just show up just to show up. And number two, make sure that you've got a passion for it. God expects us to serve. God enables us to serve. God equips us to serve. And God empowers us to serve. I want to close by asking you to take two thoughts home with you this morning. First of all, here's the first thought. This church needs you involved in ministry. This church needs you involved in ministry. Have you ever thought about something as simple as a pencil? I didn't bring one up here with me this morning, but you've seen pencils. They're wood with lead in it, have an eraser on it, have a piece of metal that holds that eraser on it. You ever thought about something as simple as a pencil? Did you know that no one human being knows enough to make one simple lead pencil? In order for that pencil to become a pencil, somebody has to know how to mine graphite. Somebody else had to know how to process the wood. Somebody else had to know how to produce the rubber for the eraser. Somebody else had to know how to manufacture the paint to go on the pencil. And somebody else had to know how to put it all together and then market it and distribute it and sell it. What's true of the pencil is also true in the church. It takes many believers doing their part to make the church. The other thought that I want you to carry home with you this morning is this. You need to ask God, if you've not already done it, to give you the attitude of a servant. Ask God to give you the attitude of a servant. Why do you have to ask Him to give you that attitude of a servant? Because it's against our very nature to want to serve. Our nature is, I want to be served. You see, when the average person looks for a church, here's the question they ask. How can this church meet my needs? When you get to the stage of maturity that Paul's talking about here, where you ought to be as a Christian, you begin to ask, how can I be used in this church to meet the needs of others? The immature Christian asks, who's going to meet my needs? The mature Christian asks, whose needs can I meet? I can tell you who will meet your needs. When you begin to worry about the needs of others, God will take care of your needs. You know, we're so often obsessed with living as long as we can, so we do everything from watching our diets to exercising to taking vitamins. Well, if you don't hear anything else, hear this morning. What matters isn't how long you live. I want to live a long life. I want to live as long as I can to be used by God, as long as He would use me for the greatest impact that He would use me in His kingdom work. But what matters isn't how long you live. It's how you live. It's not the duration of your life that matters. It's the donation of your life that counts. You know what God is looking for in a church? He's looking for servants. He's looking for servants. Somebody once asked Leonard Bernstein, the late New York Symphony conductor, what's the most difficult position in the orchestra to play? And without any hesitation, he said, second fiddle, second violin. They said, why is that? Is playing second fiddle or second chair violin so much tougher than playing, say, the piccolo or playing the bassoon? He said, no, it's not tougher. It's just that everybody wants to be a first chair violin. People that want to be a leader are a dime a dozen. People who want to be a servant are rare indeed. Would you say with me in your own heart today, Lord, here I am at your service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, for not only calling us to salvation, thank you, Lord, for calling us to serve. Father, I pray that we will get that right in our own hearts, because too many of us, Lord, sit, too many of us, Lord, soak, and too many of us become sour. Father, I pray that we would seek your will. What is the giftedness that you've given me? What are the talents? No matter how small or insignificant we may think they are, how can I use those things to serve others in the kingdom? Lord, I pray that as we begin to search our hearts and we begin to seek and ask you to give us that servant heart, Father, I pray that you will pour your Spirit out upon us and within us. Lord, give us a humbleness in our heart. Lord, not seeking to be elevated above others. Lord, I want to be hid behind the cross. I want people to see you and not me. And Father, I pray that's what we would want in our lives, Lord. We would want this body here to be built up in Christ so that when we go out to the restaurant or we go out to school or we go to the workplace this week, people would see a mature Christian in our lives. They would see, that's what I've been looking for all my life. Lord, maybe there's someone who's here this morning, someone even who's watching online, who never has trusted by faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I pray this morning they would call out to you and say, "Dear God, here I am. I know I'm a sinner, and I come this morning trusting in Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, was buried in the tomb, and arose on the third day. Jesus, save me and help me to serve you and live for you all the days of my life." Father, if someone's prayed something like that in their own hearts this morning, may they come forward to publicly profess that faith in Christ. Lord, there's others who are here as believers, and maybe we've been convicted, Lord, that I've been sitting, I've been soaking, and I don't want to become sour. Lord, I want to serve you in your kingdom work, whatever way that is. So, Lord, I pray there would be those of us who are believers who would come, whether it's in our pew or whether it's down here at the altar, to say, "Lord, here I am at your service." And, Lord, lead us into that service. Lord, help us to realize it doesn't have to be a position. It doesn't have to be on a committee. It doesn't have to be a leadership position. It just has to be those things that we do that maybe nobody else ever sees, but you do. Lord, I pray it would be more of that and less of the other. Father, I pray for your will to be done this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sing our hymn of invitation number 321. The Savior is waiting. Would you make your way and come? Brother Mike, come and lead us. Seated for just a moment. Brother Stephen Prince is going to come and share our announcements.
Before I make any announcements, Miss Pat's got one.
It's time for Prime Timers again, and this Prime Timers is going to be hosted by Dale and Kimber Womack. Isn't that awesome that they asked to host our primetimers? And they're providing pulled pork and chicken and chicken thighs and barbecue sauce, baked beans, coleslaw, pickles. And isn't that awesome? And the church will be providing the drinks and everything. But we just need to bring, if you think of a side dish you want to bring to go along with that, or dessert, we need desserts. And be sure and sign up on the list that you're coming so they'll know how much to prepare and everything. His address is 1020 Chapel Road, and I'm sure you can just put that in the GPS. But if you want to meet here at the church, we can do a meet at the church, but we're going to leave here at the church at 11:30. The train leaves at 11:30, 9 minutes after. So if you want to go from the church and follow, be here by 11:30, because we're leaving at 11:30.
Sounds like I need to identify as a prime timer this week. Next Sunday is Lord's Supper. It was not in the bulletin or anything, so just be aware of that. Got a couple of prayer requests. You know, of course, you know, please be mindful, you know, of the school shootings, you know, and keep everybody in your prayers there. We had a death that happened, you know, pretty close to some of the children that come on Wednesdays, some of the youth in Awana, the Minor family. They lost a brother last night or yesterday. I don't know the timing of it, so please keep that family in your prayers. Brian Tate will be having surgery next week, so keep him in your, or is it the week after, Brian?
Not tomorrow.
Okay, in 2 weeks, so just keep him in your prayers for a good surgery and good recovery there. We've got a little request. You know, if you got any old Sunday school literature or books or anything that you're using, please don't stick them outside of Matt's door. Leave them in a chair and he'll come by and grab them, correct? Okay, just, you know, don't want it to be a fall hazard or anything, or let them get damaged. Any other prayer requests or concerns? Or okay, it was probably that Minor family. Okay, no, you're fine. All right, if none others, let's close it out in prayer. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us today. You know, please watch over every one of the members of this church, you know, the ones that come here. And please allow us, you know, we know you have a plan. Give us the strength to know that you've got a plan, and let us keep the faith. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Please watch over us as we go throughout this week, and let's make sure we keep you first. In your name we pray. Amen.